It's 1240. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Next week, something will happen that will not occur again for more than a century. It's called the Transit of Venus. On Tuesday, June 5th, Venus will cross in front of the Sun. Because of a slight tilt in the planet's orbit compared to Earth, Venus very rarely travels across the face of the Sun, and if you miss this event, you will not get another chance to see it until December 2117. Even the best life expectancy projections suggest for pretty much all of us, this is going to be our only shot. To tell us more about the transit of Venus, we are joined by David Leake, director of the William M. Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College in Champaign. Dave, welcome to the Afternoon Magazine.
Thank you very much, Craig. Pleasure to be on with you.
Glad to have you with us. And so exactly how often do these transits occur?
Well, it's a little bit variable. They do occur in pairs, and the pairs are 8 years apart. So we did have one in 2004. But aside from that, things vary just a little bit. But there are truly very few things that are once in a lifetime, and this is probably one of them.
You mentioned they occur in pairs. Why is that?
It's just the way the Venus orbit has, I think you mentioned this little 4-degree tilt. So in 2004, Venus went across the lower part of the Sun, and then this Tuesday, it'll be going across the upper part of the Sun, and that's going to be it for a while.
There's a lot more to the transit of Venus than just seeing a cool black dot traveling across the Sun. I understand such a transit back in the 1700s was sort of key to determining Earth's distance from the Sun. How so?
Well, it's interesting that you can use Kepler's laws. He had his third law, the harmonic law, that said that if you could figure out how long it took a planet to go around the Sun, you can figure out its distance. And that law was used to scale the solar system. The thing was, you have to have some sort of absolute value in there of the Earth-Sun distance. I mean, you could do everything with respect to that distance. That's why early on they took the distance from the Earth to the Sun and just called it one astronomical unit was what we called it. And we weren't really sure what that was in miles or kilometers or what have you. So you could figure out how far away the planets were using that astronomical unit, but to actually get the true distances, you needed to figure out the length of that AU, and the only way to really do that was with the transit of Venus, and we owe that revelation to good old Edmund Halley from Halley's Comet fame. He did a lot of other things besides just predict that comet's return, and this was one of them, and so that's why expeditions went out all across the globe to look at the transit of Venus and time how long it took Venus to cross the disk of the Sun.
Would you say this event is comparable to Halley's Comet passing by Earth as it did back in 86?
I would say so. The thing is that a lot of people could go out into their backyard and see Halley's Comet, and this is going to be a little tougher because obviously one should never look directly at the Sun. So you do have to have some the appropriate equipment, and sunglasses are not the appropriate equipment.
So what is the appropriate equipment?
A couple of things. They do make Mylar eclipse glasses. We've got a few of those here at the planetarium. If you use a welder's glass, as long as it's a number 14 welder's glass, you can use that. Probably the easiest thing to do, though, is just to project an image of the Sun. It's sort of like if you have a telescope, you could point the telescope at the Sun using its shadow. And my goodness, don't look through it, of course, but maybe put like an index card or a piece of paper 8, 9, 10 inches behind where you would normally look in the telescope, and you can project an image of the Sun. And so you're looking at the piece of paper and not looking through the telescope at the Sun.
I remember doing this as a school class project during solar or lunar eclipses. Is it the same sort of process?
Yeah. I know one of the things I did as a kid was the whole pinhole projector.
Right.
It's probably going to be tough to see the dot of Venus through one of those pinhole projectors. But if you can project an image. We're going to be doing a lot of that out here at Parkland. We're going to try to have a few telescopes set up and for the public to take a free look at the transit of Venus. We'll even have some equipped with the appropriate solar filters where you could look directly through the telescope at the Sun.
Now, I understand when a planet first starts to cross the Sun, we see something known as a black drop effect. What is that exactly?
Well, that's a great question. They're not 100% sure really what causes that, but it's an interesting phenomena, and you can almost see the same thing If, you know, wherever your listeners are at, and if you're driving, don't do this, but if you take your thumb and your forefinger on either hand and touch them together as if you're pinching something, but now make them up, go apart and hold them close to your eye and kind of look real close, and it almost looks like your thumb and your forefinger kind of reach out and connect, even if they're not really touching. And we see the same thing. Because you need to, back when we were timing the transits of Venus, you need to know exactly when Venus was on the face of the sun, or apparently on the face of the sun. And that black drop effect kind of ruined things. It kind of smeared out that point and made it a little bit more difficult to actually do the timing.
Is it kind of like when the sun's going setting in the west, and maybe you're along a body of water, and you see that first moment when the sun is sort of landing over the water, if you will?
That has a lot to do with the atmospheric refraction that you get just from looking through the air. The air almost acts a little like a lens. When you see the sunset on a horizon, the sun might even look a little larger than it usually does. The sun isn't actually there. It's actually set already, and you're seeing just kind of an image of the sun because of the bending of the sun's rays by their atmosphere. When you have the sun higher in the sky, you know, it could have something to do with Venus's atmosphere, I suppose. But it's just an interesting effect that we'll be looking for on the 5th.
And when you're looking for it out at Parkland College, if somebody wants to join you, what do they do?
Really, just come on out. I have no idea how many to expect. People will have to be patient because we only have a limited number of telescopes. When we had the 2004 transit, which was a morning transit, it was already in progress as the sun rose. We were out looking over the soccer fields out here at Parkland, and its estimates vary, but I've heard people say they thought there were around 400 people out here at one time. But, you know, we'll try to project the sun's image somewhere a lot of people then could watch the projection instead of one person looking through an eyepiece, and we'll just do the very best that we can.
David Leake is director of the William M. Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College in Champaign. Dave, thanks for talking with us.
Hey, you're very welcome, Craig. Good to be on with you.
There are links and a video describing the transit of Venus on our website at will.illinois.edu/afternoonmagazine. And if you do want to join Dave and company out at Parkland College, the public's invited to park in the C4 parking lot on the west side of Parkland College and south of the planetarium, and then walk to the telescopes where they will be positioned. Again, that's during Tuesday's transit of Venus.